And welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Cuckoo Clock of Doom by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. First off, this is a podcast with lots of bad language, so if you're a kid, don't listen to me, because I'm going to say some horrible things. Fuck, I'm already singing again? That's never a good start. This was the second one when you guys were posting on Facebook of, like, which one you wanted to hear. And, Revenge of the Lawn Gnomes won, and this got second, so the Cuckoo Clock of Doom! Yeah. Part of getting old and comfortable is, like, when something inspires you, but it doesn't inspire you to, like, do what that thing is, where it's just like, fuck, I should be doing things as well! And you jump up and, think about what the fuck am I talking about already? Dear God. Oh, fuck. Oh, this is gonna be a long one, kids. Oh, wait, there's no kids. Don't listen if you're a kid. Fuck! Oh, God. Oh, God. What am I doing? Cuckoo Clock of Doom! Number one. Don't do drugs. Just... Oh, God. Chapter one. Michael, your shoe's untied. My sister Tara sat on the front steps, grinning at me. Another one of her dumb jokes. I'm not an idiot. I knew better than to look down at my shoe. If I did, she'd slap me under the chin or something. I'm not falling for that old trick, I told her. Mom had just called me and the brat inside for dinner. An hour before, she had made us go outside because she couldn't stand our fighting anymore. Can parents do that anymore? Where you're just like, fucking kids, go outside. Oh no, we don't have indoor kids. They bring fleas in. It was impossible not to fight with Tara. When it comes to stupid tricks, Tara never knows when to quit. I'm not kidding, she insisted. Your shoe's untied. You're going to trip. Knock it off, Tara, I said. I started up the front steps. My left shoe seemed to cling to the cement. I pulled it up with a jerk. Yuck! I'd stepped on something sticky. I glanced at Tara. She's a skinny little squirt with a wide red mouth like a clown's and stringy brown hair that she wears in two pigtails. I call them handles. Everyone says she looks exactly like me. I hate it when they say that. My brown hair is not stringy, for one thing. It's short and thick, and my mouth is normal-sized. No one has ever said that I look like a clown, despite the fact that I'm a huge juggalo. I'm a little short for my age, but not skinny. I do not look like Tara. She was watching me, giggling. You'd better look down, she taunted in her sing-song voice. I glanced down at my shoe. It wasn't untied, of course, but I just stepped on a huge wad of gum. If I had looked down to check my shoelaces, I would have seen it. But Tara knew I wouldn't look down. Not if she told me to. Tricked by Tara the Terror again. You're gonna get it, Tara, I grumbled. I tried to grab her, but she dodged out of reach and ran into my house. I chased her into the kitchen. She screamed and hid behind my mother. See, my mother is morbidly obese, so this is no problem whatsoever. Sometimes my dad parks the car behind my mom, and we can't find it in the parking lot. Mom, hide me! Michael's gonna get me! She shrieked. As if she were afraid of me. Fat chance, but not fat enough chance as my mother's fat. Hey-o, up top, Frank. All right. Michael Webster, Mom scolded, stop chasing your little sister. She glanced at my feet and added, is that gum on your shoe? Oh, Michael, you're tracking it all over the floor. Tara made me step on it, I whined. Mom frowned. Do you expect me to believe that, Michael? You're fibbing again. I am not, I cried. Mom shook her head in disgust. 10 minutes later, her chins stopped shaking. If you're going to lie, Michael, at least make it a good one. Tara peeked out from behind Mom and taunted me. Yeah, Michael. She laughed. She loved this. I'm drinking a Bavaria, some sort of Oktoberfest beer, I assume is from Bavaria. I would assume. It just says Bavaria on it in big letters. She's always getting me in trouble. My parents always blame me for the stuff that's her fault. But does Tara do anything wrong? Oh, no, never. She's a perfect angel. Not a bad bone in her stupid body. I'm 12. Tara's 7. She's made the last 7 years of my life miserable. Too bad I don't remember the first 5 very well. The pre-Tara years, they must have been awesome. Quiet and peaceful and fun. I went out to the back porch and scraped the sticky gum off my shoe. I heard the doorbell ring and Dad calling, "It's here! I'll get it!" Inside, everyone gathered around the front door. 2 men were struggling to carry something heavy into the house. Possibly, it was a new muumuu for my mother. Something long and narrow and wrapped with a padded gray cloth. "Careful," Dad warned them. "It's a very old. Bring it here." Dad led the delivery guys into the den. They set the thing down on one end and began to unwrap it. It was about as wide as me and maybe a foot taller.
"What was that?"
Tara asked. Dad didn't answer right away. He rubbed his hands together in anticipation like a Jew. Our cat, Bubba, slinked into the room and rubbed against Dad's legs. The gray cloth fell, and I saw a very fancy old clock.
"I bet that's the cuckoo clock of doom."
It was mostly black and painted with silver and gold and blue designs and decorated with scrolls, carvings, knobs, and buttons. The clock itself had a white face with gold hands and gold Roman numerals. I saw little secret doors hidden under the paint designs and a big door in the middle of the clock. The delivery guys gathered up the gray padding. Dad gave them some money and they got the fuck out. "Isn't it great?" Dad gushed. "It's an antique cuckoo clock. It was a bargain. You know that store across from my office? Anthony's Antiques and stuff?" We all nodded. Mom nodded out. She's also a junkie. Sorry. So she's fat and a junkie. I need to remember this. I won't remember this. "It's been in the shop for 15 years, Dad told us, patting the clock. Every time I pass Anthony's, I stop and stare at it. I've always loved it. Anthony finally put it on sale.
Cool, Tara said.
But you've been bargaining with Anthony for years. He always refused to lower the price, Mom said. Why now? Dad's face lit up. Well, today I went in the shop at lunchtime, and Anthony told me he discovered a tiny flaw in the clock. Something wrong with it.
Ooh, that shit sounds ominous.
Let's keep reading. I scanned the clock. Where? He didn't say. Do you see anything, kids? Tara and I began to search the clock for flaws. All the numbers on the face were correct, and both the hands were in place. I didn't see any chips or scratches.
I don't see anything wrong with it, Tara said.
Me either, I added. Neither do I, Dad agreed. I don't know what Anthony's talking about. I told him I wanted to buy the clock anyway. He tried to talk me out of it, but I insisted. If the flaw is so tiny, we don't even notice it. What difference does it make? Anyway, I really do love this thing. Mom cleared her throat. A whole chicken came up.
I don't know, dear. Do you really think it belongs in the den? I can tell by her face that she didn't like the clock as much as Dad did, but did like butter much more than Dad did.
Where else could we put it? Dad asked. Well, maybe the garage? Dad laughed. I get it. You're joking. Mom shook her head. She wasn't joking, but she didn't say anything more. Because she had her mouth just dumped in a tray of lasagna like Garfield. I think this clock is just what the den needs, honey, Dad added. On the right side of the clock, I saw a little dial. It had a gold face and looked like a miniature clock, but it only had one hand. Tiny numbers were painted in black along the outside of the dial, starting at 1800 and ending at 3000. The thin gold hand pointed to the numbers 2003. The hand didn't move. Beneath the dial, a little gold button had been set into the wood.
Don't touch that, Michael, Dad warned.
The dial tells the current year. The button moves the hand to change the year.
That's kind of silly, Mom said. Who forgets what year it is?
Dad ignored her. What a silly woman. See, the clock was built in 1800, where the dial starts. Every year, the pointer moves one notch to show the date.
So why does it stop at 3,000? Tara asked. Dad shrugged. I don't fucking know. I guess the clockmaker couldn't imagine the year 3,000 would ever come. Or maybe he figured the clock wouldn't last that long. Maybe he thought the world was going to blow up at 2999, 2990. Maybe he thought the fucking world would blow up in the future, I suggested.
Could be, Dad said. Anyway, please don't touch the dial. In fact, I don't want anyone touching the clock at all. It's very old and very, very delicate.
Okay, Dad, Tara said.
I won't touch it, I promised.
Look, Mom said, pointing her little sausage finger at the clock. It's 6 o'clock. Dinner's almost.
Mom was interrupted by a loud gong.
A little door just over the clock face slid open, and a bird flew out. It had the meanest bird face I ever saw, and it dove for my head. I screamed, "It's alive!"
Chapter 2.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
The bird flapped its yellow feathers. Its eerie, bright blue eyes glared at me. It squawked 6 times, then it jumped back inside the clock. The little door slid shut.
It's not alive, Michael, Dad said, laughing. It sure is real-looking, though, isn't it? Wowzers!
You bird brain, Tara teased. You were scared. Scared of a cuckoo clock. She reached out and pinched me. Get off me, I growled. I shoved her away.
Michael, don't push your sister, Mom said. You don't realize how strong you are. You could hurt her.
Yeah, Michael, Tara said. Dad kept admiring the cock.
Oh, God, I'm going to be tempted to do that this entire time in that book. I'm just going to keep getting drunker and be like, there's a fucking cuckoo cock of doom and the cuckoo cock of poon. And No, I refuse to do that. This is the only time I'm saying cock instead of clock.
Dad kept admiring the clock. He could hardly take his eyes off it.
I'm not surprised the cuckoo startled you, he said.
There's something special about this clock. It comes from the Black Forest of Germany. It's supposed to be enchanted.
Enchanted? I echoed. You mean magic? How?
Legend has it that the man who built this clock had magical powers. He put a spell on the clock. They say if you know the secret, you can use the clock to go back in time.
Mom scoffed. Did Anthony tell you that? What a great way to sell an old clock. Claim it has magic powers.
Dad wouldn't let her spoil his fun, so he cheated on her all the time and it broke up the family. The end.
You never know, he said. It could be true. Why not?
I think it's true, Tara said.
Herman, I wish you wouldn't tell the kids these wild stories, Mom chided.
What the fuck?
It's not good for them, and it only encourages Michael. He's always making things up, telling fibs and impossible stories. I think he gets it from you.
I protested. I don't make things up. I always tell the truth.
How could Mom say that about me? Had the fat gotten to her brain? Could she not think?
I don't think it hurts the kids to use their imaginations once in a while, Dad said.
Imagination is one thing, Mom said. Lies and fibs are something else. I fumed. Mom was so unfair to me. The worst part was the expression of victory on Tara's face. Making me look bad was her mission in life. I wanted to wipe that smirk off her stupid face forever.
Dinner's almost ready, Mom announced, leaving the den. The cat followed her.
Michael, Tara, go wash up. Better do it quickly or there won't be any more food left.
And remember, Dad warned, no one touches the clock.
Okay, Dad, I said. Dinner smelled good. I started for the bathroom to wash up. As I passed Tara, she stomped hard on my foot.
Ow! I yelled.
Michael, Dad barked,
stop making so much noise.
But Dad, Tara stomped on my foot.
It couldn't have hurt that much, Michael. She's a lot smaller than you.
My foot throbbed. I limped to the bathroom. Tara followed me.
You're such a baby, she taunted.
Be quiet, Tara, I said like a little bitch.
How did I get the worst sister in the world?
We had pasta with broccoli and tomato sauce for dinner. Mom was big on no meat, low fat kick.
but it didn't seem to be working. I didn't mind. Pasta was better than what we'd had the night before. Lentil soup. You know, honey, Dad complained to Mom, a hamburger now and then never hurt anybody. I disagree, Mom said. She didn't have to say more. We all heard her lectures about meat and fat and chemicals before. We just wish she took her own advice. What a hypocrite. A fat fucking hypocrite. Dad covered his pasta with a thick layer of Parmesan cheese.
Maybe the den should be off limits for a while, Dad suggested. I hate to think of you two playing in there and breaking the clock.
But Dad, I have to do my homework in the den at night, I said. I'm doing a report on transportation in many lands, and I need to use the encyclopedia.
Can't you take it up to your room? Dad asked. The whole encyclopedia?
Dad sighed.
No, I guess you can't. Well, all right. You can use the den tonight, because we don't have the internets, because we're poor.
And your mom spends all the money on food because she's fat.
I need to use the encyclopedia too, Tara announced.
You do not, I snapped. She wanted to hang around the den and bug me, that was all.
I do too. I'm supposed to read about the gold rush.
You're making that up. You don't study the gold rush in second grade. That's not until fourth.
What do you know about it? Miss Dolan is teaching us the gold rush now. Maybe I'm in a smarter class than you were.
Mom said, Michael, really, if Tara says she needs to use the encyclopedia, why start a fight about it?
Om nom 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 nom, she said while eating a live pig.
I sighed and stuffed a fork full of pasta in my mouth like a true Hulkamaniac. Tara stuck her tongue out at me. There's no point in talking, I thought. All it does is get me in trouble. I lugged my backpack into the den after dinner.
Scarlet, you're not in heat. What are you doing? You're just yelling?
You're just yelling. Awesome. No sign of Tara yet. Maybe I'd be able to get some homework done before she came in and started pestering me. I dumped my books on Dad's desk. The clock caught my eye. It wasn't pretty, kind of ugly, really. But I liked looking at those scrolls and buttons and knobs. It really did seem as if the clock could be magic. I thought about the flaw Dad had mentioned. I wondered what it was. Some kind of bump? A missing notch on one of the gears? Maybe a piece of chipped paint. I glanced back at the door to the den. Bubba wandered through it, purring. I petted him.
Hey, Franklin.
Mom and Dad were still in the kitchen cleaning up after dinner. I didn't think it would matter if I just looked at the clock a little.
What are you doing, Frank?
Careful not to touch any buttons, I stared at the dial that showed the year. I ran my fingers along a curve of silver at the edge of the clock. I glanced at the little door over the face of the clock. I knew the cuckoo sat behind that door, waiting to leap out right at me. I didn't want to be surprised by that bird again. I checked the time. 8:05. Under the face of the clock, I saw another door. A big door. I touched its gold knob. What's behind this door? I wondered. Maybe the gears of the clock or a pendulum. I glanced over my shoulder again. No one was looking. No problem if I peeked behind the big clock door. I tugged on the gold knob.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna make dick jokes.
The door stuck. I pulled harder. The door flew open. I let out a scream as an ugly green monster burst out of the clock. It grabbed me and knocked me to the floor. Heyo, it's now November 4th. I'm continuing on this. Halloween passed. I didn't do the live give yourself goosebumps with you choosing, but I did dress as Princess Leia, and I posted a picture on the old Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook. As per usual, I have no idea what's going on in the actual book itself. Drinking a Ballast Point Pale Ale. I'm going to assume there's some sort of cuckoo clock. Of, you know, it's like a cuckoo clock of doom. Whatever. I went to the Renaissance Fair yesterday. Did I already say that? That was good times. Anyway.
Chapter 3.
Mom! Dad! Help! I shrieked. The monster raised its clawing claws over me. I covered my face, waiting to be slashed.
Gucci, Gucci, goo. The monster giggled and tickled me with its claws. I opened my eyes. Tara! God damn it, it's Tara in her old Halloween costume. She rolled on the floor, giggling. You're so easy to scare, she shouted. You should have seen your face when I jumped out of the clock. It's not funny, I cried. It's gong.
Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo.
The bird popped out of the clock and started cuckooing. Cuckoo, ka-choo, cuckoo, ka-choo. Okay, I admit it. It scared me again. But did Tara have to clutch her sides, laughing at me that way?
What's going on in here?
Dad stood in the doorway, glaring down at us. He pointed at the clock.
What's that door doing open, Michael? God damn it, I told you to stay away from the clock.
Me? I cried like a little bitch. He was trying to catch the cuckoo, Tara lied.
I thought so, Dad said.
Dad, that's not true. Tara's the one who...
Enough of your bullshit, Michael. God damn it, I'm sick of hearing you blame Tara.
Every time you do something wrong, your mother is right, but I can't stand admitting that. It's like, look, if we get divorced, clearly, Michael, you will be the reason for our divorce. I'm not saying there aren't other reasons, mostly sexual, but you're the reason this marriage can't stay together. You're a horrible son, and it's all your fault. You should blame yourself. Maybe I've been encouraging your imagination a little too much.
That's not fair, I yelled. I don't have any imagination. I never make anything up.
Dad, he's lying, Tara said. I came in here and saw him playing with the clock. I tried to stop him.
Dad nodded, swallowing every word his precious Tara said.
There was nothing I could do. I stormed off to my room, slammed the fucking door. Tara was the biggest pain in the world, and she never got blamed for anything. She even ruined my birthday. I turned 12 3 days ago. Usually, people like their birthday. It's supposed to be fun, right?
Not for me.
Tara made sure my birthday was the worst day of my life. Or at least, one of the worst. First, she ruined my present. I could tell my parents were very excited about this present. My mother kept hopping around like a chicken saying, "Don't go into the garage, Michael. Whatever you do, don't go into the basement or the garage." I knew she'd hidden my present there. But just to torture her, I asked, "Why not? Why can't I go in the garage? The lock on my bedroom door is broken and I need to borrow one of Dad's tools."
No. No. Scarlett, you can't chew on Cool Balls posters. Scarlet.
Just keep doing your thing, cat. Whatever. At least you're not screaming in the background, right? Am I right, everyone that's been annoyed by my cat?
No! No! Mom exclaimed. Tell your father to fix the lock. He'll get the tools. You can't go in there because, well, there's a huge mound of trash in there. It really stinks. It smells so bad. You could get sick from it.
Sad, isn't it? And she thinks I get my imagination from my dad.
All right, Mom. I promised I won't go into the garage. And I didn't. I even look. And I didn't. Even though the lock on my door really was broken, I didn't want to spoil whatever surprise they had cooked up. They were throwing me a big birthday party that afternoon. A bunch of kids from school were coming over. Mom baked a cake and made snacks for the party. Dad ran around the house setting up the chairs and exchanging crepe paper.
I thought it was crate paper. But it's crepe, like the delicious food?
You learn something every day, everyone. I went today, and I went to the craft store with the girlfriend. That was something I did today. I got a case, like a frame to put an album, so I could put David Bowie's Hunky Dory, because that's one of my favorite albums.
Forget it. Dad, would you mind fixing the lock on my door? I asked. I like my privacy, and I need to masturbate.
Oh, sorry, and I need that lock.
Tara had broken it a week earlier. She'd been trying to kickbox the door down.
Sure, Michael, Dad agreed. Anything you say. After all, you're the birthday boy.
Thanks. Dad took the toolbox upstairs and worked on the lock. Tara lounged around the dining room, making trouble. As soon as Dad was gone, she pulled down a crepe paper streamer and left it lying on the floor. Dad fixed the lock and returned the tools to the garage. As he passed through the dining room, he noticed the torn down streamer. Why won't this crepe paper stay up? He mumbled. He taped it back up. A few minutes later, Tara tore it back down again.
I know what you're doing, Tara, I told her. Stop trying to wreck my birthday.
I don't have to wreck it, Ralph, she said, predicting a movie that would come out years later. It's bad all by itself, just because it's the day you were born. She pretended to shudder in horror. I ignored her. It was my birthday. Nothing could keep me from having fun. Not even Tara. That's what I thought. About an hour before the party, Mom and Dad called me into the garage. I pretended to go along with Mom's silly story. What about the horrible trash? Oh, that, Mom chuckled. I made it up. Really? I said. Wow. It was so believable. If you believe that, you must be a moron, Tara said, like an awesome, awesome person. Dad threw open the garage door. I stepped inside. There stood a brand new 21-speed bike. That is an unnecessary amount of speeds, I thought. The bike I'd wanted for a long time. The coolest bike I'd ever seen. Do you like it? Mom asked. I love it, I cried like a little bitch. It's awesome, thanks. Cool bike, Mike, Tara said. Mom, I want one of these for my birthday. Before I could stop her, she climbed up the seat of my new bike. Tara, get off, I yelled. She didn't listen. She tried to reach the pedals, but her legs were too short. The bike fell over. Tara, Mom cried, running to the little brat's side. Are you hurt? Tara stood up and brushed herself off. I'm okay. I scraped my knee a little, though. I picked up my bike and inspected it. It was no longer perfectly shiny and black. There was a huge white scratch across the middle bar. It was practically ruined, I said like a spoiled little bitch. Tara, you wrecked my bike. Let's not get overexcited, Michael, Dad said. It's only a scratch. Don't you even care about your little sister? Mom asked. She could have been hurt. It's her own damn fault. She shouldn't have touched my bike in the first place. Michael, you have a lot to learn about being a good brother, Dad said. They make me so mad sometimes. Let's go inside, Mom said. Your friends will be here soon. The party. I thought the party would make me feel better. After all, there would be cake and presents and my best friends, and all us guys were going to play spit in the bottle and get weird with our confused sexualities because we're 12 now. What could go wrong? I started out okay. One of my friends arrived, and they all brought me presents. I'd invited the 5 guys. David, Josh, Michael, B, that was Michael B, Henry, and Lars, and 3 girls, Cece, Rosie, and Mona. Does anyone have those names? I wasn't so crazy about Cece and Rosie, but I really liked Mona. Wink! She had long, shiny brown hair and a turned-up nose that's kind of cute. She's tall and good at basketball. There's something sort of cool about her. Every time I think about her, I just feel all weird in my bathing suit area. It's just things tense up down there, and it's strange. I don't get it, but it's fun to tug at. Cece and Rosie are Mona's best friends. I had to invite them if I was going to invite Mona. They're always together. Cece, Rosie, and Mona arrived all at once. They took off their jackets. Mona was wearing pink overalls over a white turtleneck. Ugh, she looked great. I lied to myself. I didn't care what the other girls were wearing. Happy birthday, Michael, they all called at the door. Thanks, I said. They each handed me a gift. Mona's was small and flat and wrapped in silver paper. Probably a CD, I figured, but which one? What kind of CD would a girl like Mona think a guy like me would like? Oh, God. Kids, back in the day, you would get like a CD as a present. And it's like, this is not a CD that I requested. Can you imagine what that's fucking like now when you have any band and any album and any musician you want and you can just download it and stuff? And you're like, oh, I'll have this for either legal or otherwise. You can just have it. But back then, it would be like, oh, thanks for this awesome CD. I really appreciate Eve 6. What the fuck? Harden a... Oh, God damn it. I'm so gonna return it and get NoFX is so long and thanks for all the shoes. I set the presents on top of the pile in the living room. Hey, Michael, what'd your parents get you? David asked. Just a bike, I said, trying to be cool about it. A 21-speed. I put on a CD. Mom and Tara brought in plates of sandwiches. Mom went back to the kitchen, but Tara stayed. Your little sister is so cute, Mona said. Not once you get to know her, I muttered. Michael, that's not very nice, Mona said. He's a terrible big brother,
Tara told her. He yells at me all the time. I do not. Get lost, Tara. I don't have to go. She stuck her tongue out at me. Let her stay, Michael, Mona said. She's not bothering anybody. Hey, Mona, Tara chirped. You know, Michael really likes you. Mona's eyes widened. He does? My face got red hot. I glared at Tara. I wanted to strangle her right then and there, but I couldn't. Too many witnesses. Mona started laughing. Cece and Rosie laughed too. Luckily, the guys didn't hear this, or else they'd think I was heterosexual. They were around the CD player, skipping from cut to cut. What could I say? I did like Mona. I couldn't deny it. It would hurt her feelings, but I couldn't admit it either. I wanted to die. I wanted to sink through the floor and fucking die. Michael, your face is all red, Mona cried, like an engine. Lars heard this and called out, What did Webster do now? Some of the guys call me by my last name. I grabbed Tara and dragged her into the kitchen, Mona's laughter ringing in my ears. Thanks a lot, cunt, I whispered. Why'd you have to tell Mona I like her? It's true, isn't it? The brat said. I always tell the truth. Yeah, right. Michael, Mom interrupted, are you being mean to Tara again? I stormed out of the kitchen without answering her. Hey, Webster, Josh called when I returned to the room. Let's see your new bike. Good, I thought, a way to get away from the girls. I led them to the garage. They all stared at the bike and nodded at each other. They seemed really impressed. Then Henry grabbed the handlebars. Hey, what's this big scratch? He said. I know, I explained. My sister. I stopped and shook my head. What's the use? Let's go back and open my presents, I suggested. We trooped back into the living room. At least I've got more presents coming, I thought. Tara can't ruin those. But Tara always finds a way. When I entered the living room, I found Tara sitting in the middle of a pile of torn-up wrapping paper. Rosie, Mona, and Cece sat around her watching. Tara had opened all of my presents for me. Thanks so much, Tara. She was ripping open the last present, Mona's. Look what Mona gave you, Michael, Tara shouted. It was a CD. I've heard there are some great love songs on it, Tara teased. Everyone laughed. They all thought Tara was a riot. Later, we all sat down in the dining room for cake and iced cream. I carried the cake myself. Mom followed me, holding plates, candles, and matches. It was my favorite kind of cake. Chocolate. Balancing the cake in my hands, I stepped through the kitchen door and into the dining room. I didn't see Tara pressed against the wall. I didn't see her stick her bratty little foot in the doorway. I tripped. The cake flew out of my hands. I landed on top of the cake, face down, of course. Oh, RL, you should write comedy. Some of the kids gasped. Some tried to muffle their laughter. I sat up and wiped the brown frosting out of my eyes. The first face I saw was Mona's. She was shaking with laughter. Mom leaned over and scolded me. What a mess, Michael. Why don't you look where you're going? And please, you're wearing blackface for your birthday. That is inappropriate. I listened to the laughter and stared at my ruined cake. I had no candles to blow out now. But it didn't matter. I decided to make a wish anyway. I wish I could start this birthday all over again. I stood up, covered in gooey brown cake. My friends howled. You look like the Hulk, Rosie cried, not knowing that the Hulk was green because she's a girl and she has stupid interests like Polly Pocket and whatever else girls were into at that point. Everybody laughed harder than ever. They all had a great time at my party. Everyone did, except for me. My birthday was bad, very bad, but ruining it wasn't the worst thing Tara did to me. Nobody would believe the worst thing. Chapter 4. Let's find out how bad Tara really is, guys. Alright, come on down to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune. Let's have a good time. It happened the week before my birthday. Mona, Cece, and Rosie were coming over. We all had parts in the school play and planned to rehearse together at my house. The play was a new version of The Frog Prince. Mona played the princess, and Cece and Rosie were two silly sisters.
Perfect casting, I thought.
I played the frog. Before the princess kisses him and turns him into a prince, for some reason, our drama teacher didn't want me to play the prince. Josh got that part.
Listen, Michael, it's because you're an uggo, okay? That's why you're playing a frog and not a prince, and that's why the girl doesn't like you for your personality. Okay, you're an uggo. I'm sorry. You're just an uggo.
Anyways, I decided that the frog part is a better part because Mona, the princess, kisses the frog, not the prince. The girls would arrive any minute. Tara sat on the rug in the den, torturing our cat Bubba. Bubba hated Tara almost as much as I did. Tara lifted Bubba by the hind legs, trying to make him do a handstand. Bubba yowled and squirmed and wiggled away, but Tara caught him and made him do a handstand again. Ah,
I like that all these kids being tortured and miserable. It's like, I don't care. Then a cat gets hurt, and I'm like, oh, fuck that. It's bullshit, RL. I don't care if you kill the children, but come on, there's a cat.
Stop that, Tara, I ordered.
Why? Tara said, it's fun. You're hurting Bubba.
No, I'm not. He likes it. See? He's smiling.
She let go of his hind legs and grabbed him with one hand under his front legs. With the other hand, she lifted the corners of his mouth and stretched them into a pained smile.
Bubba tried to bite her. He missed. Tara, I said, let him go and get out of here. My friends are coming over.
No.
Now Tara tried to make Bubba walk on his front paws. He fell and bumped his nose.
I'm going to cry. I might have to skip this.
Tara, stop it, I cried. As soon as I tried to take Bubba away from her, she let go of the cat.
Bubba meowed and scratched me across the arm.
Ow!
I dropped Bubba. He ran away.
Michael, what were you doing to the cat? Mom stood in the doorway.
Bubba slipped past her into the hall.
Nothing, he scratched me.
Stop teasing him and he won't scratch you, Mom scolded.
She left, calling over her shoulder. I'm going upstairs to lie down for a while. I'm a little drunk.
The doorbell rang.
We'll get it, Mom,
I called. I knew it must be the girls at the door.
I wanted to surprise them in my frog costume, but I wasn't ready yet.
Answer the door, Tara, I told the brat. Tell Mona and the others to wait for me in the den. I'll be right back.
Okay, Tara said. She trotted off to the front door and hurried upstairs to change into my costume. I pulled the costume out of my closet. I took off my pants and shirt. I picked up the frog suit, trying to open the zipper. It was stuck. I stood there in my underwear, tugging at the zipper.
So you didn't know what he was going to be tugging at, you know? Dude, you're so funny. Thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
Then, my bedroom door clicked open.
Here he is, girls, I heard Tara say.
He told me to bring you upstairs.
No, I thought, please don't let it be true.
I was afraid to look up. I knew what I'd see. The door wide open, Mona, Cece, Rosie, and Tara staring at me in my underwear. I forced myself to look. It was worse than I'd thought. They all stood there, staring and laughing. Tara, laughing hardest of all. She laughed like a rotten little hyena cunt.
You think that's bad? Wait, there's more. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk.
What's this have to do with cuckoo clocks, eh, Michael?
2 days before the underwear disaster, I was hanging around after school, playing basketball in the gym, you know, up to no good, when some guys from my neighborhood, they started some trouble. I got in one little fight.
No, see, that's a different television program. Forget it. I was hanging around after school playing some b-ball in the gym with Josh, Henry, and some of the other guys, including Kevin Flowers.
Kevin is a good player, big and tough.
He's twice as tall as me. He loves basketball.
The Duke Blue Devils are his favorite college team. He wears a blue Devils cap to school every day.
While we are shooting hoops, I spied Tara hanging around the sidelines, where we'd all tossed our jackets and backpacks against the wall.
I got a bad feeling. I always do when Tara's around.
What's she gonna do there, I wondered. Maybe her teacher kept her after school.
Whatever.
And she's waiting for me to walk her home. She's just trying to distract me, I told myself. Don't let her. Don't think about her. Just concentrate on the game. After all, you're playing the Kevin Flowers. He's almost a celebrity. I felt good. I actually sank a few baskets before the game ended. My side won. We had Kevin Flowers on our team. That's why. Ah, Kevin Flowers. Oh, he's so hot.
We all jogged to the wall to get our backpacks. Tara was gone.
Funny, I thought. I guess she went home without me. I hoisted my pack over my shoulder and said, see you tomorrow, guys. But Kevin's voice boomed throughout the gym. Nobody move!
We all froze. "Where's my cap?" he demanded. "My blue devil's cap is missing." I shrugged. I didn't know where his stupid cap was. "Somebody took my cap," Kevin insisted. "Nobody leaves till we find it." He grabbed Henry's backpack and started pawing through it. Everyone knows how much Kevin loves that cap. But Josh pointed at me. "Hey, what's that hanging out of Webster's pack?" he asked. "My pack?" I cried, glancing over my shoulder. I saw a blue patch sticking out of the zippered pocket. My stomach lurched. Kevin strode over to me and ripped the cap out of my pack. "I don't know how it got there, Kevin," I insisted. "I swear." Kevin didn't want to hear my excuses. He never was much of a listener. "I'll spare you the blood and gore. Let's just say my clothes didn't fit too well when Kevin got through taking me apart." That's horrible. "But serves you right for letting your sister do that to a cat, asshole." Josh and Henry helped me home. My mom didn't recognize me. My eyes and nose had traded places with my chin. That's horrible. While I was in the bathroom cleaning myself up, I caught a glimpse of Tara in the mirror. The bratty grin on her face told me all I needed to know. "You," I cried. "You put Kevin's cap in my pack, didn't you?" Tara just grinned. "Yeah, she did all right." "Why?" I demanded. "Why'd you do it, Tara?" Tara shrugged and tried to look innocent. "Was that Kevin's cap?" she said. "I thought it was yours." "What a lie," I cried. "I never wore a Duke cap, and you know it. You did that on purpose." I was so furious, I couldn't stand to look at her. I slammed the bathroom door in her stupid face. And of course, I got in trouble for slamming the door. Now you understand what I have to live with. Now you understand why I did the terrible thing that I did. Anyone in my place would have done the same. Chapter 5. I stayed in my room that night, thinking hard, plotting a way to get Tara in trouble, but nothing came to me. At least, nothing good enough. Then, the clock arrived. A few days later, Tara did something that gave me an idea. Tara couldn't stay away from the cuckoo clock. One afternoon, Dad caught Tara playing with the clock hands. She didn't get into any real trouble, of course. Not sweet little Tara. But Dad said, "I've got my eye on you, young lady. No more playing with that clock." At last, I thought. At last, Dad realizes that Tara's not a perfect angel. And at last, I found a way to get her in big trouble. I found some... Get your head in the Goosebumps game. If something went wrong with the clock, I knew Tara would be blamed for it. So I decided to make sure something did go wrong. Tara deserved to get in trouble for the hundreds of terrible things she did to me. So what if just once she gets blamed for something she didn't do? I thought, it's only evening the score a little bit. That night, after everybody was asleep, I sneaked downstairs to the den. It was almost midnight. I crept up to the clock and waited. 1 minute to go. 30 seconds. 10 seconds. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The gong sound. Cuckoo! Cuckoo! The yellow bird popped out. I grabbed it mid-cuckoo. It made short, strangling noises. I twisted its head around so it faced backwards. It looked really funny that way. It finished out its 12 cuckoos, facing the wrong way. I laughed to myself. When Dad saw it, he'd go ballistic. The cuckoo slid back into its little window, still facing backwards. "This is gonna drive Dad insane," I thought wickedly. "He'll be furious at Tara. He'll explode like a volcano! Whoa!" Finally, Tara will know what it feels like to be blamed for something you didn't do. I crept back upstairs. Not a sound, not one goddamn sound. Nobody saw me. I fell asleep that night, a happy guy. There's nothing like revenge. I slept late in the morning. I couldn't wait to see Dad blow up at Tara. I just hoped I hadn't missed it already. I hurried downstairs. I checked the den. The door stood open. No one there. No sign of trouble yet. Good, I thought. I haven't missed it. I made my way back to the kitchen, hungry. Mom, Dad, and Tara sat down around the table, piled with empty fucking dishes and shit. As soon as they saw me, their faces lit up. "Happy birthday," they cried all at once. "Very funny," I snapped. I opened a cabinet.
Is there any cereal left?
Cereal? Mom said. Don't you want something special? Like pancakes?
I scratched my head. Well, sure, pancakes would be great. This was a little strange. Usually, if I woke up late, Mom said I had to fix my own breakfast. And why should I want something special anyway? Mom mixed a fresh batch of pancake batter.
Don't go into the garage, Michael. Whatever you do, don't go into the garage.
She hopped up and down, all excited, just as if it were my birthday again.
Freaky Friday!
Weird. There's a huge mound of trash in there, Mom was saying. It really stinks. It smells so bad, you could get sick from it. Mom, what's with the trash story? I asked. I didn't believe it the first time.
Just don't go into the garage, she repeated.
Why was she saying this to me? Why was she acting so weird? How could I be so stupid as to not catch on?
Dad excused himself, saying, I've got a few important chores to do in a strange, jolly way. I shrugged and tried to eat my breakfast in peace, but after breakfast I passed through the dining room. Somebody had decorated it with crepe paper. One strand had been torn down.
We're totally weird.
Dad came into the room, toolbox in hand. He picked up the torn piece of crepe paper and started to tape it back up again.
Why won't this crepe paper stay up?
Whoa, he asked. Dad, I said, why are you covering the dining room with crepe paper?
Dad smiled. Because it's your birthday, of course.
Every birthday party needs crepe paper.
Listen, my grandpa came over here from Italy to make goddamn crepe paper for a living. Someone needs to buy this shit still. Now you're going to use crepe paper on every single occasion.
Now I bet you can't wait to see your present, right?
I stared at him. What is going on here? I wondered.
Why is this so baffling to you, Michael? You're bumming me out.
Chapter 6.
Mom and Dad led me to the garage. Tara followed. They all acted as if they were really going to give me a birthday present.
Dad opened the garage door. There it was, the bike. It was perfectly shiny and new looking. No scratches anywhere.
That must be the surprise, I thought. They figured out a way to get rid of the scratch somehow.
Or maybe they got me another new bike.
Do you like it? Mom asked.
It's awesome, I replied.
Tara said, cool bike, Mike.
Mom, I want one of these for my birthday.
Then she jumped on the seat. The bike fell over. When we pulled it up, it had a big scratch on it.
Mom cried, Tara, are you hurt?
I couldn't believe it. What a nightmare.
It was happening all over again,
exactly as it happened on my birthday.
What's going on?
What's wrong, Michael? Dad asked. Don't you like the bike?
What can I say? I felt sick. I felt so goddamn confused.
Then it dawned on me. It must have been my wish. I thought my birthday wish. After Tara tripped me and I fell on my cake, I wished I could go back in time and start my birthday all over again. Somehow, my wish came true.
Wow, I thought. This is kind of cool.
Let's go inside, Mom said. The party guests will be here soon.
The party? Oh, no! Please, no! Do I have to live through that horrible party again?
How the fuck did chapters vary in length so goddamn much in Goosebumps books? The first chapter was like 20 minutes, and that one was like 8 seconds.
Chapter 7, la da 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 da, chapter 7, la da 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 da, chapter 7.
Yes, yes, I had to live through the whole horrible nightmare again. My friends all showed up, just like the first time. I heard Tara say the awful words, hey Mona, you know, Michael really likes you.
Mona said, he does?
I already knew that, Mona, I thought.
Tara told you 4 days ago.
You were standing in that very spot wearing the same pink overalls.
Mona, Cece, and Rosie cracked up.
I panicked. This can't go on, I thought. My mother came in carrying a tray of soda, so I grabbed her.
Mom, I begged, please take Tara away. Shut her in her room or something.
Michael, why? Your sister wants to have fun too.
Mom, please!
Oh, Michael, you're being silly. Be nice to Tara. She won't bother you. She's just a little girl.
Mom left the room, standing me and... Oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with my brain, people?
All right, Franklin, I'm going to get my head in this.
Budweiser, the king of beers.
Mom left the room, standing me with Tara and my friends. She couldn't save me. No one could. I showed the guys my new bike. Henry said, "Hey, what's this big scratch?" Like a total asshole. When we got back to the living room, there were all my presents opened by Tara. "Look what Mona gave you, Michael," Tara shouted.
I know. I thought a CD with great love songs on it."
"I've heard there are some great love songs on it," Tara repeated. Everybody laughed.
It was just as before. No, worse, because I could see it coming, and I couldn't stop it.
Could I?
I feel like this is like just R.L. Stein's complete attempt to not write a whole book and turn this in, where it's just going to be keep on like repeating stuff with different internal monologue. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying. Come on, brain. Let's do it. "Michael," Mom called, "come into the kitchen, please. It's time for your birthday cake." "Here's the test," I thought, dragging myself into the kitchen. "I'll carry the cake, but this time I won't be tripping. I know Tara's going to try and trip me. I won't let her. I won't make a fool of myself this time. I don't have to. I don't have to repeat everything the same way. Do I?"
This is chapter 8.
I stood in the kitchen staring at the cake. I could hear my friends laughing and talking in the dining room. Tara was there too. I knew she was standing just beyond the dining room door, waiting to stick out her foot and trip me, waiting to make me fall on my face and go into blackface and embarrass myself all over again. Not this time! I carefully picked up the cake in both hands. I started toward the dining room. Mom followed. Just as before, I stepped in front of the entrance to the dining room. I glanced down. No sign of Tara's foot. Carefully, watching closely, I stepped through the door. One step. So far, so good. Another step! I stood inside the dining room now. I made it. All I had to do was get to the table about 5 steps away and I'd be safe. I took another step forward. Another! Then I felt a tug on my foot. Tara reached out from under the table. So that's where she'd been hiding. I knew it now, but it was too late. Everything seemed to move in slow motion, like a dream. I heard an evil giggle. She grabbed my foot. Oh no, I thought it's happened. I lost my balance. As I fell, I turned my head and glanced back. Tara sat under the table smirking at me. I wanted to fucking kill her. But first, I had to fall on my face, on a cake. The cake flew out of my arms. I turned my head again. Splat! Everybody gasped with laughter. I sat up and wiped the frosting from my eyes. Mona leaned over the table, laughing harder than anybody. The second time was more embarrassing than the first. I sat on the floor, my face covered in cake, thinking, how could I have been so stupid? What am I, a girl? Why did I have to make that wish? I'll never wish for anything ever again. I cleaned myself up and managed to survive the rest of the party. When I went to bed that night, I thought, at least it's over.
I gotta answer my phone.
Sorry, I received a phone call.
I switched off the light and pulled the covers up. It's over, I repeated. I'll go to sleep and everything will be back to normal in the morning. I shut my eyes and fell asleep, but in my dreams, all night long, I saw scenes from my horrible birthday party. The nightmare party became a real nightmare! There was Tara telling Mona that I liked her. Mona's face loomed up large in my dream, laughing and laughing and fucking laughing! God damn it! Cece and Rosie and the guys all laughing right in my stupid fucking face. I tripped and fell on top of the cake over and over and over again. I tossed and turned. Each dream was scarier than the last. Soon my friends looked like horrible monsters, and Tara was the most horrible of all. Her features melted into a blur as she laughed and laughed at me. Wake up, I told myself, wake up! I dragged myself out of the nightmare world. I sat up in bed in a cold sweat. The room was still dark. I glanced at the clock. 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep, I thought miserably. I can't calm down. I've got to tell Mom and Dad what happened. Maybe they can help. Maybe they can make it better. I climbed out of bed and hurried down the dark hall into the room. Their door was open a crack. I pushed it open and Mom and Dad were fucking. The end. Oh, wait, sorry. Mom? Dad? Are you awake? Dad rolled over and grunted, huh?
I shook Mom's shoulder. Mom? Mom stirred. What is it, Michael? She whispered. She sat up and grabbed the clock radio. In the clock's dim blue glow, I saw her squint, trying to read the time. It's 3 o'clock, she cried. Dad snorted and sat up. Huh? What? Mom, you've got to listen to me, I whispered. Something creepy happened today. Did you notice it? Michael, what is this? My birthday, I exclaimed. Terror ruined my birthday. I wished I could have done it all over again. I wanted to make it better, but I never thought the wish would come true. Then today was my birthday again, and everything happened exactly the same. It's terrible. It's fucking horrible. Oh my God, I'm Seinfeld. Dad rubbed his eyes. That you, Michael? Mom patted him. Go back to sleep, dear. Michael's just had a bad dream. No, Mom, I cried. It wasn't a dream. It was real. My birthday happened twice. You were both there. Both times. Don't you understand? Listen, Michael, Mom began. I heard impatient in her voice. I know you're excited about your birthday, but it's 2 days away. Only 2 days to go. Then it will be your birthday at last. Okay? So go back to bed now and get some sleep. She kissed me goodnight. Only 2 days till your birthday. Sweet dreams.
Alright, I've switched to vodka. Somehow recording this has become an all-day thing for me. God damn it. It's just not a good book. So I'm trying to get my head in this, everyone. Alright. Chapter 9! What the fuck? I staggered back to bed, my head spinning. 2 days until my birthday. Hadn't I just lived through my birthday? Twice? I switched on the reading lamp and stared at the date on my watch. February 3rd. It said, my birthday's on February 5th. Dune's brother Brandon's birthday is on February 4th. My birthday was 2 days away. Could it be true? Was time going backwards? No, I thought I must be going nuts. I shook my head hard. I slapped myself a few times. Going back in time, I laughed at the idea. It's impossible, I thought. Get a hold of yourself, Michael. All I did was wish to celebrate my birthday over again, once. I didn't wish to repeat my 12th birthday for the rest of my life. Ah, oh, R.L. Stine saw Groundhog Day. But what if that's what's happening? Why is it now 2 days before my birthday? Why isn't it just the night before? Maybe time really is going backwards, I thought. Maybe this has nothing to do with my wish. But then, why is it happening to me? I racked my brains. The clock. Dad's cuckoo clock. I twisted the cuckoo's head backwards, went to bed, and when I woke up, time had gone backwards. Could that be it? Did I do this? Is Dad's clock really magic? Maybe I should have turned that stupid bird backwards, I decided. I shouldn't have done that. That'd be even smarter. It figures, I try to get Tara in trouble and end up getting myself into a horrible mess. What if this is what happened? It's easy enough to fix. I'll just go downstairs and turn the cuckoo's head back around. I tiptoed out of my room and down the stairs. My parents had probably fallen back to sleep already, but I didn't want to take any chances. I definitely didn't want Dad to catch me fooling around with his precious clock. My feet hit the cold, bare floor of the foyer. I crept in the den. I switched on the lamp. I glanced around the room. The cuckoo clock was gone. This is chapter 10 of the book The Cuckoo Clock of Doom by R.L. Stine, read semi-legally by Doom. No! I cried. Had the clock been stolen? Without the clock, how could I fix everything? How could I turn the bird's head around and make my life go forward again? I raced upstairs. I didn't care who I woke up. Mom! Dad! I yelled. I burst into the room and shook Mom awake. Michael, what is it? She sounded furious. It's the middle of the fucking night. We're trying to get some sleep. Let them be angry, I thought. This was way more important. The cuckoo clock is gone. Dad rolled over. What? Huh? Michael, you've had another nightmare, Mom assured. It's not a nightmare, Mom. It's true. Go downstairs and see it for yourself. There is no cuckoo clock in the den. Michael, listen to me. It was a dream. Mom's voice was firm. We don't own a cuckoo clock. We never did. I staggered backwards. It's just a dream, a bad dream. But Dad just bought it. I stopped. I understood now, because I'm slow. The date was February 3rd, 2 days before my birthday and 5 days before Dad bought the cuckoo clock. We were traveling back in time. Dad hadn't bought the clock yet. I felt sick.
Mom said, "Michael, are you all right?" She climbed out of bed and pressed the back of her hand against my forehead. "You feel a little warm," she said, nicer now that she thought I might be sick. "Come on, let's get you to bed. I'll bet you have a fever, and that's why you're having all these nightmares." Dad grunted, "What? Sick? All right. I'll take care of it, Herman," Mom whispered. "Go back to sleep." She guided me back to bed. Mom thought I was sick, but I knew the truth. I had made time move backwards and the clock was gone. How would I fix things now? By the time I got to the kitchen in the morning, Mom, Dad, and Tara had already eaten. "Hurry up, Michael. You'll be late." Being late for school didn't seem to matter much in this moment. "Dad, please sit down for a second," I pleaded. "Just a minute. It's important." Dad sat impatiently on the edge of the chair. "Michael, what is it?" "Mom, are you listening?" I asked. "Sure, honey," Mom said. She put the milk in the refrigerator and busily wiped off the counter. "This is going to sound weird," I began, "but I'm not kidding." I paused. Dad waited. I could tell by the tension in his face. He expected me to say something totally dopey. I didn't disappoint him. "Dad, time is going backwards. Every day I wake up, and it's an earlier day than the last." Dad's face drooped. "Michael, you have a wonderful imagination, but I'm running late. I have a fucking job, so I have to can support you kids. All right, asshole? Can we talk about it when I get home from work tonight? Or why don't you write it down? You know I love reading science fiction stories."
"But Dad,"
Mom said, did somebody remember to feed the cat?" "I did it," Tara said, "even though it's supposed to be Michael's job." "Thanks, Tara," Mom said. "Let's hit the road, everybody." I grabbed a muffin as Mom hustled us out the door. "They're too busy to understand right now," I reasoned as I hurried to school. "Tonight at dinner, when I have more time to explain." I had lots of time to think about my problem during school. I'd lived through this day before, too. I'd already done all the work, heard all the lessons, eaten the lousy lunch. When my math teacher, Mr. Parker, turned his back to the class, I knew what would happen next. I predicted it to the second. Kevin Flowers threw an eraser at him, and it hit him in the back of his black pants. "Now, Mr. Parker's gonna turn around," I thought, watching Mr. Parker. "He turned around. Now he'll yell at Kevin," Mr. Parker shouted. "Kevin Flowers to the goddamn principal's office right now. Now Kevin will start yelling his head off. How'd you know it was me? Teach? Yo, teach. Why are you so lame? Teachers suck," Kevin yelled. "You didn't see me do shit. Swag. YOLO." The rest of the scene happened as I remembered it. Mr. Parker cowered a bit. Kevin is pretty big, but told Kevin to go to the principal's office again. Kevin kicked over an empty chair and threw his books across the room. It's all so boring. After school, I found Tara in the den teasing Bubba. She lifted his hind legs and made him walk on his front paws. "Tara, stop. Just seriously, stop. Why are you fucking with the cat? What possible benefit is that? Don't you have dolls or something? Seriously, this is what serial killers do. Don't fuck with animals. Seriously, it's not cool," I cried, trying to take Bubba away from her. She let the cat go. Bubba meowed and scratched me across the arm. "Ow!" I dropped Bubba. He ran away. It felt very familiar and painful. "Michael, what are you doing to the cat?" Mom demanded. "Nothing. He scratched me." "Stop teasing him. He won't scratch you," Mom scolded. The doorbell rang. "Oh no! Mona, Cece, and Rosie. The frog prince. The underwear. I can't let it happen." But my feet began taking me upstairs. I was walking like a robot to the room. "Why am I doing this?" I asked myself. I'll get out my frog costume. The zipper will be stuck. Tara will open the door, and I'll be standing in my goddamn underpants. Mona will be laughing her head off, and I'll want to sink through the floor. I know how all of this will happen. So why am I doing it? Why can't I stop myself? Oh God. And that finally concludes the end of part one of Cuckoo Clock of Doom. And it reminds me of this horrible situation where I ate mushrooms with Nate of Waves because whatever, indeed. Anyway, we ate mushrooms and went to go see The Scorpion King, and I was tripping balls and thought that I had seen the entire movie before, and it fucking blew my mind. It blew my mind, people! My mind was blown! Except for I was just freaking out, and it was really boring and shitty. I don't know why we were there, because we were just shitty teenagers, but I was just sitting there on mushrooms and could swear I had seen the whole thing, but couldn't tell you exactly what was going to happen next. Which brings us to the end of the Cuckoo Clock of Doom, part one on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune, this is Dune Reads Goosebumps. Stay spooky, bitches.